we had started refocusing on and reminding ourselves that we're dealing with freedom, dealing with the mindset, dealing with changing or developing a godly mindset, the mind of God. And so it deals with, as Apostle was teaching us tonight, that it deals with not only in ministry, but you must take this home. You must take this personal to your personal life that God is talking about. Okay, not just ministry. And not only ministry, but he's talking about not only home, but not only state, but global, national, thinking national, international ministry, thinking global thoughts, the mind of God. So we're enlarging by changing our mindset, our way of thinking, receiving the mindset of God. Now we're thinking beyond limitations. There are no limits. And this comes through a progression of practicing a way of doing things and doing it a certain way consistently without going back to your old way of doing things. Always doing things. There was a great story that told when they went to Troy, to this great army that went to Troy to overtake it. The army of Troy was bigger than the army that came against it. And so the people who came on the boat to attack Troy was a smaller army. And so fear came on the soldiers because they realized that Troy was an impenetrable threat. They could not impenetrate the fortitude of the fortress because of the great and mighty army they were and how skilled they were. And so fear came on them. They wanted to go back. So what the captain did was he told his men, go burn all the ships. After burning all the ships, they couldn't go back to home because he was changing their mindsets. And he said, we came all this way to win, not to lose, no matter what the odds are. And I want you to see yourself in that fashion of life that God has made you a conqueror. He has made you more than a conqueror. He has made you a winner, that you have come this far by grace and you're not here to lose. You're here to win in every issue of your life. No matter what it is, no matter what condition it comes in, I'm here to win. So you got to change your mindset, the way we think. So let's get with the information because you're going to need this information. So let me give you all the information you're going to need. And then we'll go back and fill in. Okay. The number one question that you're going to see, that information you're going to need to know about from page 123 is the four keys. Name the four keys of new freedom. Name the four keys of new freedom. Online class students as well, get this perspective, this information. The four keys of new freedom. Make note of them or highlight them in your book. Underline them so you have them. On page 123, first paragraph. Okay, the first aspect is Abram's name. It's Abram's name. That's the first key. God deals with your name. Your name carries your identity. It carries your destiny. It's how God sees you. Very important because you have relatives, you have friends, you have co-workers, and all kind of people that you're surrounded with in your network who sees you a certain way, who think of you a certain way. But what's important is how you see you. In the eyes of God, will cause you always to prevail. So God deals with Abram's name, which also in that same first question, first key that we're talking about is Abram. The word Abram means exhorted father. So underline that also because that's going to be a very important statement as well. The second aspect of the four keys to new freedom God says to Abraham, I want you to leave your country. That's in the second paragraph. I want you to leave your country. The third aspect of Abraham's process, God says to him, I want you to leave your family. That's on page 124, second paragraph. I want you to leave your family. Number four, on page 125, second paragraph, God says to Abram, I want you to leave your physical, geographical limitations. That's in the second paragraph. And the last sentence in the second paragraph is number five. I said four? It's four. I'm going to number five. Okay, that's four. Okay. So that third one I just gave you was God said, I want to leave it physical, geographical limitation. That's not it. Go to the bottom statement, the last sentence. I put my mark in the wrong place. Number four says, I want you to leave your father's house. That is number four. Okay. So the third one I gave you, just ignore that one. And I said to you about the geographical limitations. Number four is really, I want you to leave your father's house. Okay. We got those four? Everybody got those four? We're clear on that. Okay. The number two question is, I gave it to you earlier in the statement, and the first one was, what does Abram means? What does Abram means? It means exalted father. Okay, so Abraham was already named exalted father. His name meant that. And because he was already identified, God used his identity. Because he knew who he was already to that aspect. Abraham was already rich already because he already had possessions of herds and he also had servants. He was already rich. But God made him very rich. So God wanted to enlarge his territory. He wanted to enlarge his territory. He wanted to enlarge his identity. So he called him from Abram to Abraham, which now translates his name as father of many nations. It was an expansion. It was the enlargement of who he was created to be. But it was found in his identity. You will discover as you walk with the Lord and as you continue to get the mindset of God that God has bigger plans for you than you know of, but they must be discovered. They're not on the surface. They must be discovered. And this is where we learn those or discover those by constantly seeking after God, constantly seeking the will of God, in the mind of God, in the heart of God, the will of God. Once we constantly get on this contagious, addictive journey of going after God with such a hunger and a thirst, God more and more clarifies through revelation. He clarifies who we are, what we're called to do, what we're called to have and possess for the kingdom of God. So you'll never learn it all up front. You learn it little by little, precept upon precept, line upon line. God reveals it to you over and over time. God reveals it. So you got to stay the course to really discover all of who you are in Christ. because it's more to it. You're more than what you think. And that's why we have to change our way of thinking, because it's bigger than us. And if we do not change our heart, if we do not change our way of thinking, then limitations are going to show up and talk us out of it. It's going to talk us out of it. So God has to change our mindset. And that's why we begin to walk by faith, not by sight, the emotions and the feelings and all the other things that goes along. We have to transform our thinking. Apostle Thompson really taught this class earlier. You never really listened to what he was saying. He taught this class earlier by changing the culture. Changing the culture. And that's what God is doing in this training class, is changing our culture by changing our way of thinking. And no culture can change without a concept. A concept or way of thinking. A way of believing. A way of living. Okay? A way of living, thinking, and even speaking, confessing. What comes out of our mouth comes out of our hearts. All of this has to change. All this has to change about you. So it's retraining, rethinking. Apostle said it again tonight. We got to retrain, rethink. And that's what coming in God does to us. So your education, though it may be good, phenomenal, outstanding, when it comes down to God, you know nothing. No matter what your degrees are, what's behind your name, coming to God, you are a plumb dummy. Why? Because the things of God are spiritual. And the carnal man understand nothing of the spirit. So you have to come into the mind of God, the new birth, baptized in the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking tongues, in order to get the mind of God. Order to get the mind of God. And that's the only way you're going to understand God, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The only way to get our relationship is through the Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is so necessary. I'll say, okay, so that's number two. I didn't really mean to go that far. Okay, but number three, you need to know, question number three is also on page 123. The last paragraph, first sentence, says, in a move of God, one of the recurring message we hear is that God wants us to leave our comfort zone. In every move, every calling that God calls a man, one of the first things he's going to require him is to leave his comfort zone. It's to leave his comfort zone. Very important. Got to do it. It's a must. It's a must. And we'll talk about that in a few seconds, about leaving our comfort zone and why it's a must we leave that. But let me get the information, for we don't want our time to run out without you having all the information you need. Okay. Number four. Paragraph two on page 124. Question number four. Paragraph two. Last statement or the last sentence in that paragraph that says, you and I gain an identity from those we grew up with. We gain an identity with those we grew up with. And it's very difficult for that identity to shift and expand once it's been established in the perception to those around us. That is so vital that you understand that, why God wants to get you out of your comfort zone, why God wants you to move from around familiar spirits. He got to get you to lose your identity. If any man come after me, let him first deny himself. All that you think you are and is, God says nothing. That's why culture change. That's why you're a member of whatever church you are a part of, and you're not. Most of us are not no longer in our grandparents' churches. You know, we came out of that religious culture into revelation, and that changes us. Now we no longer fit in with some of the people in our families, some of the folks who went to school with. We no longer fit into them. Because most of the time, sometimes we was in school, we weren't even saved. You know, so we done some crazy stuff. But I did, once we got saved, we no longer fit in the crowd of those who's our classmates. You know, so people figure we got our identity from the crowd, from our parents, from our cultures, from our educators, from our classmates, our neighborhoods. All of them taught us our culture. It taught us our culture. So we learned a whole lot from the culture. We learned even how to be cheap from the culture. From the culture. You know, if most of us probably grew up going to the grocery store with our grandparents or either our mothers, you know, when going to the grocery store and they look at something on the shelf, shoot, that's too much. I ain't paying that much for that. Here's a little kid, but now we're getting a concept of what's too expensive, what we can't afford. So we're learning concept. We're learning a culture. So now that we are grown, and even though we're in a word of faith ministry, when it comes on to giving, that same mind still try to jump up on us and says, give $1,000? That same mind, where you got it from? Go all the way back to your culture. You see? So there are things that have to be broken. That's why you got to get a new mindset. You got to change. And it only changed because now you have entered into a new culture, speaking a different word, seeing from another dimension, from a heaven to earth dimension, not from an earth to heaven dimension. We're not in a place of survival. We're in a place of thriving. Okay? So we're not in a fundraiser mentality. We're in a more than enough mentality. There's nothing impossible. I cannot have, do, or be because of who I am in Christ Jesus. Once you get that mindset, there are no limitations. There are no limitations, you see. So therefore, you can shop anywhere, even right now, even if you got to go to the store and the dress costs $1,200 and you don't have the money to pay for it right now, you're not saying, I can't afford it. That's not the mindset. The mindset, I'll be back. That's the mindset, I'll be back. You see, it's the mindset. The mindset, I can't afford it, means I'm not coming back here. You see? So God changes our mindset because we have changed our surrounding. We have changed our company. And our mentors have changed. You see? So all of that shapes our way of mindsets. Of mindsets. Okay? Apostle Thompson mentioned again by Romans 12, 3. You know, be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds. You know, getting that mindset to change. Okay. So number 5, let me get there, is on page 125, first paragraph. Middle of the paragraph, it says, and in order to discover and become who he made us to be, we will need to go beyond the limits of what our family expects from us. Page 125, first paragraph. We have to go beyond the limits of what our families expect from us. And it becomes a measuring stick. It becomes the measuring yarn of transitioning, change, breaking from the old paradigm, a paradigm shift into another dimension. It comes from when we understand, you know, going beyond breakthrough, Dad's new book, going beyond breakthrough. It's going beyond the limitations. In order to be extraordinary, then you must be willing to go further than the man in front of you have gone. You see, because second place is never remembered. You see, the only person they remember is the champion. You know, not the first place loser. You know, so get those five down, online student as well. Get those five down because they're very important. Let me also feed some little concepts to you or little information to you that go along with the lesson that will help you understand this chapter even more once we get into breaking it down, because this is a good chapter for us to sit here and just salah on, to meditate on, to think over, digest in our spirits. So we must break the spirit of familiarity. This is so important. Breaking the spirit of familiarity. Make note of that. Change is going to happen when you break this spirit of familiarity. Getting from those who call you Boo Boo and Little John. You know, you got to get away from that spirit. You got to get away from that spirit. You see? And people who are familiar with you will always remember who you were and not who you are. You see? And that's what God is trying to get you, a new identity. Change the familiar positions. And it's going to take some time, because a lot of us are connected to mothers and fathers. We're connected to cousins and sisters and brothers. But if people are not going the way you're going and believing what you're believing, then you have to separate. Because their negativity or their old religion is going to show up and challenge where you are. And one of the biggest warfare is biblical warfare. Two things break up family: money and religion. You see? And so when you get in this kind of debate with them about why you following that man, why you're giving your money to man. Now, see, that's a fight. You see, that is a separation. Immediately, it's just a separation. You see? So you got to understand the spirit of familiarity. And most time it's going to come from family. It's going to come from family and maybe people in the neighborhood you grew up with. It'll come from the strongest place of those people, because you're not expecting those people. You expect those people to understand and be knowledgeable of what you're doing, and most of the time they're ignorant of it, you know, and you just got to move on. You just got to move on and just count it up as another experience, you know, and keep moving. Okay, number two, we want to talk about, in that fact of just information, the comfort zone. The comfort zone is the place of resistance to change. The comfort zone, even in your own personal life, it's the place of resistance to change. And we all have gone through those paradigm shifts. We've gone through those places where we have to face our comfort zones and break through the resistance to change. Because we want to stay where we are because it's comfortable being around people who love you. You know, it's comfortable being around people who knew you all your life. It's comfortable being around relatives who knew you, who know you. It's comfortable. And so being in comfortable positions, when God says time to move, or God says time for elevation, or time for promotion, or the shift, it's hard to break the ties that binds you. Because these people are not going with you. They're not going to understand your change. And your change make them uncomfortable. Because they no longer put their fingerprint on you and control you or dictate to you any longer. So they ask you, you don't need to do all that. Why are you doing all that? Why you want to go to another state? Why you want to change churches? Because they can no longer control you in a comfort zone. And so they'll try to talk you out of it and make you stay where you are, because this is where we grew up at. This is our own church family, our old church home we grew up in. Everybody's still in the same neighborhood. Where you going? You know, mom is one place, sister down the street, brother around the corner. You know, everybody in the same area. And so when people start breaking out of the comfort zone, it seemed like, oh, you think you all that now. Mm-hmm. You know, you got two revelations and $1,000 and you think you're ready to go somewhere. You know, but the idea is the change of mindsets causes change. It causes change and paradigm shifts. And you got to be willing to make the change. You got to count it up as a sacrifice and a cost in order to go where God wants you to be. You got to value your future more than your presence. You got to put greater value on it. The future is more expensive than where you are. So you got to shift. You got to make some changes. You got to make some adjustments to go there. And so God was trying to get Abraham to see that. You got to go. It's a better place. It's a city whose builder and maker is God, not made by the hands of men. That's where you're trying to go. So Abraham had to make a strong decision to break all the ties in his life so he can go forward. Okay? So comfort zone is the place of resistance to change. Okay? Number three, the third thought here by Revelation, we want to see also through the teaching, our culture taught us our value. The culture teaches you your value. your worth. Also, our limitations and our fears are taught from our culture. The culture teaches us our value, our worth, our limitations, and our fears. We learn them all from a culture. That's where they come from. So we got to break those ties and create some new culture experiences, which means walking with God. Walking with God. The thing I love about walking with God is you never know what's going to happen. He always surprises you. He always surprises you. But every surprise carries a reward. Every time. Every time. So you got to learn to walk with God, and it's going to make those changes. Make those changes. Very important to make changes. Okay. Fourth thought I want you to get down is you must confront what you fear to change. You must confront what you fear to change. This is very important, because if you do not confront your fears will confront you in your future. Just because you didn't change it does not mean it's gone. It's waiting for another season, and it's going to show up in the next season. The things you don't confront, the things you don't change about you, the things God is telling you, look at this. The Holy Spirit is saying, look at this. This needs to be changed. You need to deal with this issue, and you just take it and sweep it under the rug. I don't want to deal with it right now. I don't want to confront that person right now. God, I want to deal with confrontation. I want to deal with a confrontation, having discussed this with somebody or deal with these issues with somebody. Could be a husband, could be a wife, could be some children. It could be some relatives, some parents, or some brothers and sisters, co-workers. It could be in any place, but sometimes you can't have peace without war. So you got to confront some issues that may be some hard issues that may rub somebody wrong, but yet it need to be confronted. Because how can two walk together unless we first be agreed? And so now agreement comes through confrontations. Through confrontation. And so a lot of times, if I don't confront something, it keeps me down. It limits me to my freedom. So I need to deal with it so I can come free. Whether we agree or not, yet we discussed it. We talked about it. And even when it comes to agreement, it's an agreement. We still agree not to agree. And so I'm still moving. But I want you to know before I left what I'm dealing with, what I'm thinking about, what I'm meditating on, and what I need to get straight with you, whether we do it or not. But I got to make that move in order to go forward, because what I don't, if I don't deal with what's I don't deal with what's frustrating me, the frustration will frustrate me. I'm not dealing with it. And so that's why many people never change, because they never deal with what needs to be changed. They never confront it. And so it is a deal with you, sweep on the rug if you want to, down the road, it's going to show right back up. It's going to show back up. That's why David killed Goliath when he had him. Because if he didn't kill him, he's going to show back up. He didn't have just one stone. David had five stones. Because Goliath had some brothers. He had some brothers had to be dealt with. And down the road, if you continue to read the Bible, you'll see the other brothers dealt with them too and killed them. David knew. You know, so if you kill fear, you also kill doubt. It's another cousin. Unbelief is another cousin. Worry is another cousin. Anxiety is another cousin. These guys keep showing up. They just keep showing up, man. They worse than baby kids. They just keep showing up. You just got to deal with them. You know, they got to continue confronting these guys. It's warfare after warfare after warfare. Lack, poverty, not enough, just enough. All these guys just keep showing up. You got to deal with them. You got to be willing to confront the things that confront you and frustrate you in order to bring change to your life. Okay? So just put that in your pocket, your spirit man, and keep that as you go on your journey, and you'll see those things as in the future. And go ahead and slay those giants, because they got to be dealt with. They got to be dealt with. Okay, and dealing with the mind, Apostle dealt with the mind tonight. He also said the mind deal with the will, the emotion, reasoning, intellect and feelings. All must be retrained. You must retrain your feelings. You must retrain your intellect. You must retrain your emotions and your thought patterns. You got to retrain them to think godly, think the way of God. See, you got to have the right feelings for every issue. For every issue you're dealing with in life, you got to have the right emotions for it. Because you cannot think out of bitterness. You cannot think out of anger. You got to always think out of love, compassion toward every issue in your life. Because if not, anger will take you to a place of destruction or destroying stuff. So you got to think out of compassion, even with those who right wrongfully on purpose to misuse you or say things about you. Apostle taught me, he said, son, you cannot lie. You got to always keep your heart clean. Don't let nothing get in your heart. Said people are going to say some things and do some things, but you can't let that get in your heart. So you might think a certain way for a moment, but you got to cast it down. You can't let it get in your heart. Because if it ever get in your heart, you're going to start acting out of it. So God tells a man, he said, do not become bitter with your wife. He said, that may be some things you don't agree with her, but don't become bitter with her. Because once you become bitter, now your prayers can't get answered. So God no longer hears your prayers because you're bitter with your wife. You see, so there, bitterness and anger and all these kinds of stuff create other areas that interfere with your walk with God. So you got to always have the right emotions, the right feelings about every issue that comes in your life. You see, God has not denied me, even though he may cause a delay. Something I'm believing for, something I'm going after. And see, and just because it don't happen today, I can't get bitter about it. I get angry about it. No, God, why that didn't happen? Why she got the raise? Why I didn't get the raise? I'm faithful. I'm a tither. I love you. I go to church all the time. This is a sinner. She don't do nothing, you know. And see, you can get all that anger inside of you. But see, now you're dealing with the wrong emotions and the wrong feelings about a situation. Instead of saying, well, God, it may be delayed, but I'm not denied. You got something better for me. You got something bigger for me. You see, and that's the right way to approach it. So you always got to always remind yourself that I got to change the way I feel about every situation, the way I think about every situation, and have the mind of Christ. Get the mind of Christ about every issue that goes on in your life. This would help you so strongly dealing with a fresh mindset about life and life issues that we deal with every day. Co-workers, people on the job, racism, and all the other stuff that comes down the pipe, you got to be able to have the right heart and the right feelings and the right emotions about it, because if not, you stop God from blessing you. You stop God from blessing you. You need, okay, so we got to understand that and get that in our spirit. So, with 6 minutes left. So, let's go back to four keys on page 123. Four keys to new freedom. I told you earlier here that Abram means exalted father. It means exalted father. It also says here in that same paragraph, where it says Abrams mean exalted father. An exalted father is not just a father. Abraham was not just a regular guy. His very name reveals that he was willing to take on a higher position with more responsibility. That is powerful. God is looking for those who are willing to take on more responsibility. If you're resisting change, if you're resisting authority, if you're resisting the apostle or the prophet giving you more responsibility and you're trying to scapegoat through some other kind of way, make lame excuses why you're not available, why you're not here at the meetings, why you're not where he wants you to be, because you're not willing to take on more responsibility, God cannot even promote you. Favor won't even show up in your life because you're running from responsibility. So those who are willing to labor, those who are willing to serve, those who are willing to put themselves on the cutting edge, make sacrifices of positioning themselves for promotion, for exhortation in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God. So don't run from responsibility, run to responsibility. Take on more responsibility. Most of us in ministry wear more than one hat. We're doing more than one thing. Because of fact, not only just because we're talented, but because we're willing. You know, Dad said something to us the other day. He said, it's not so much your anointing, it's your availability. Not so much of your ability, your availability. You have to make yourself, you have to make yourself available to be used by God. And God is always looking for someone who is available. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro through the earth, that he's looking for somebody whose heart is upright toward him so he can show himself strong. God is looking for somebody who's available. You cannot be an effective Christian or an effective minister if you're not going to make yourself available to the word, available to prayer life, available to the fasting and praying, available to serving. Those things you got to make yourself available to, because it brings you to accountability and responsibility. But God says, I can trust you with more. You're not going to run with it. You're not going to do like the guy in Matthew 25 who took the talent and dug a hole and hid it. No, you're going to use it like the guy who had five and the other guy who had two. You're going to use it and bring the kingdom more gain. That's what God is looking for. So if we're going to make increase, then we got to make ourselves more available to the things of God if we're going to make increase. Take on more responsibility. Don't run from it. It's going to make you the woman and the man you're supposed to be. You know, Apostle says this, and in the training, he says to us a couple of years ago, he said the way to the king's palace is through the servant's quarter. He said, if you want to go to where the king is, go to the servant's quarter. You know, learn to mop the floor. Go out in the parking lot and cut the grass and keep the parking lot clean. Go in the restroom and wash the bathroom commodes. Keep all that clean. That's the servant's quarter. No matter how many revelations you got, how much education you got, go do that first. If you're submissive enough to go do that and honorable and do it right without grumbling, without complaining, he said, then God will promote you. Promotion don't come from men. Promotion comes from God, who sees our heart in secret, what we think and what we feel toward leadership, toward those who are in leadership. That's where promotion comes from. It comes from the Lord. Okay, so let's finish reading this, and we should be ready to close. More responsibility than an average father. He goes and said, that was the guy God was working with, exhorted father. Similarly, those of us who are taking strives to understand and carry the anointing and the revival that is happening today need to understand that God has asked us to take on a greater level of responsibility than the average person. I love that, because in fact, so many times in ministry, we measure ourselves by those who are not doing. What I mean is, a lot of time we're in ministry, you can have 300 people in your church, you know, and only 20% is doing all the work. You know, and then you start complaining because everybody else go and leave home every after church service over with. Everybody leave, except the group that's always there, cleaning up, straightening up, vacuuming, putting the chairs back together, straightening up everything, seeing everything is taken care of, and the rest of them go, and they want just as much glory as the people who are working. You see, so you got to always realize that your exhortation is going to come because you're willing to take on more responsibility. So don't complain about those who are not involved, actively involved, when things need to be done in the church and we call for the men to come together. This is what we're going to do next week. And all the folk people show up and everybody else stay at home and have their excuses. Don't get mad about them. Just do your part. Take responsibility. Do your part. God will see your faithfulness and he's going to exhort you because you're faithful and you're not complaining about who's not helping us. Those who are not helping us. You got to always keep that in your spirit. Keep that in your heart, because God is looking for that person who's going to take on more responsibility so he can exalt her. Okay? And that's how I got to where I am, by taking on more responsibility, by constantly humble, staying faithful, taking responsibility, being on the front line, say, what you need done? Taking that responsibility. And through the time of serving now, it's my 11th year, I'm here. But I sat there. You see, that was a difference. I sat there first, and it took 8 years for me to get here from sitting over there by being faithful and consistent, not missing but one meeting out of 8 years. It's consistent and faithfulness, feeding, feeding, feeding.